Hey gang, it's a new year. Maybe you made the resolution that this year your band is going to be a lot better. The only way to do that is by rehearsing, and I have a great place for you. Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, plenty of parking. They have the space for you to get your creative endeavors done. Call them at 512-448-9518 or find them at spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to ProTown with Space.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you've all had a great week, eased into the new year, right from the first day of the week. I've eased into the new year. I haven't really done, I mean, I've done stuff. I've been practicing for this EP that I'm starting to record next week. I'm running over the songs a little bit. I'm doing some podcasts with people. I'm actually starting a new podcast this week with my friend Einar Peterson. We actually started this podcast like 3.5 years ago, and then we never put it out. Like, we recorded two of them, we never put them out. But they're about movies. They're about movies about musicians, dramatic movies. It can be like Straight Outta Compton, or it can be like Rockstar or Glitter or something. So the first ones we're doing are Rockstar and Almost Famous. And even though Almost Famous isn't necessarily about the band, it's more about the kid, it's still, you know, there's band stuff in there. So Einar and I are going to take our unique look at these movies, and we love these movies, all good or bad. We always watch these movies, and then we talk about them. We make fun of them. We inevitably do make fun of them. That's what we do. And so we thought that that unique perspective that we have as musicians, watching movies about musicians that are made by people that usually aren't musicians, is pretty interesting. And so we always have a good time watching those movies, and we have a good time talking about those movies. And we are going to share that with you in a podcast called Does Anybody Remember Laughter? So look for that coming soon. I'm going to post the first couple of them on the How Did I Get Here page, let you guys know about them, and then you can find it. And if it's something that you're into and you enjoy Einar and my perspective on these movies and us talking about them and how we can make each other laugh, you'll get into it. I guess I didn't sell. Was that a very good sales thing of Does Anybody Remember Laughter? Anyway, new podcast coming. Does Anybody Remember Laughter? Me and my friend Einar talking about movies. All right. I have a great show for you guys today. My dear friend, the very talented and very sweet Mr. Sky Strickler returns to the show today. You can find his music and him at skystrickler.com. He has a new EP that he dropped in 2017 called DNA. He came on the show when it came out, but I haven't seen him in a few months. Actually, I have seen him in passing at weird big events here in Austin. Like, oh, hey, oh, how you doing? Good, all right, big hug, that later. Didn't get to catch up, but I love this dude. Love sitting down and talking to him. He's incredibly talented. The thing about Sky that always moves me is not only is he talented and gifted as a songwriter and a singer and a musician, he also challenges himself by collaborating with other people from all over the world. He doesn't just reach as far as his arms can go, which is pretty far because the guy's tall as shit, but the guy, he goes all over the world and finds people to make music with. And it turns out that his music, it turns out to be great. And it only benefits from those collaborations. So, without further ado, enjoy my conversation with my immensely talented dear friend, Sky Strickler. Let's get down.
Baby, we could dance all night in the rain. I'm talking about thunder clapping a beat's insane. Touch that phone, just tell me where you wanna go. I could take you all around the world tonight. I got your ticket, baby.
And I can't, I mean, I have plenty of friends who are on planes all the time, and that's all that they're ever doing. And then they have the most energy when they show up someplace and are performing. I don't know how they do it. Like, I just do one weekend, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to do anything for 3 days.
Yeah, in Skyrocket, we've started flying the day before.
Okay.
Just because it's...
You don't want to have to arrive that day and then be just, like, pooped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, when you arrive that day, that means you flew out at, like, fucking 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
Listen to all these nice things people are saying. Okay. Embracing a bubblegum beat, his music is infused with optimism, and it sets him apart. Dan Gray, Austin Chronicle. Oh, man, I need my glasses. It breaks open, achieving a new speed, a torrent of notes. All these people are saying nice. Everybody says nice things about your music. You know why? Because you're really good. You know who's like, honestly, like a guy I didn't peg him for a giant fan of what you do. Anar is a huge Sky Strickler guy.
He is a good supportive friend and fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy. And he has so much wisdom, too. So I'm just sitting there in awe whenever he's talking to me about stuff. I remember the first time that we really got to chat, and he was just had so much positivity and energy about it because he had listened to some stuff before we ended up talking about.
Right.
We were at Austin Music Foundation, and then I walked in, and he just had this glow about him, and I was like, okay, I love this.
I remember when I got the call of, have you heard Sky Strickler?
Seriously?
Super cool, man. Yeah. Yeah, he always lets me know when he likes people.
That's awesome.
Or if someone super crazy comes in.
I feel like you can get some of those here in Austin.
Yeah, you do.
Crazy artists.
Yeah.
The Austin Music Foundation has a statistic. I don't know if it came from them or the Omnibus, but that there are 1,500 active bands on average at any given moment. 1,500 active bands in the greater Austin area. Is that an incredible?
That's insane.
It's a lot. So you're going to find some crazy ones here and there.
Yeah, there's going to be some crazy ones.
It's the fun part of it. Like, yeah. That's the artistry. This is being crazy sometimes.
So you just were doing a private show?
Yeah. So
where at? In Florida?
Yeah, in Jacksonville.
Okay.
It was a friend throws a just this extravagant holiday party. It's beautiful. The people there are amazing. And I knew about it last year, but I didn't get a chance to go. And this year kind of crept up on everybody, and I was like, I want to go out and hang out. And they're like, come out and put on a show. I was like, okay. So I honestly had no idea what to expect. I just did a taping with Austin 360 last week. And right. So I had like put a lot of time and energy into like a really compact, quick set. So when I got out there, they were like, okay, so they're going to announce you, and then you're just going to have time to do whatever. And I was like, wait, I'm not just sitting at the piano playing some holiday things and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And they're like, no, it's like you go.
Like the show.
Yeah, they had like a DJ up on the second balcony upstairs, like looking at everybody. So I did the same set from Austin 360, mm-hmm. and then people wanted more. There was like, it was a long party, so like there was, ended up being a second crowd, there was like an open bar, people were drinking, it was like 11 o'clock at night, we ended up doing the second one, but I just went up and gave it to the DJ. I said, okay, here's my 20-25 minute set, just hit play and go, and mm-hmm. and he was really cool to work with too. That whenever I was interacting with the crowd, like I just had a wireless mic and I was just running around. I mean, there were probably 150, 200 people on the first set, just out on the back patio.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. I had a lot of fun. And it was cool to see people not afraid to interact with me while I'm doing that. Because I can only imagine, when I go to a show, I'm always like, oh, God, don't approach me. Don't approach me. Like, I get nervous even being a performer. But when people were cool with it, I was like, this is fun. Like, I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I love singing, but I love being able to interact with people at the same time, too.
Do you ever do like go and do open mic like with a keyboard or something? Or
no, I did one time when I was here in Austin, and I wasn't that good. I also didn't my issue. I did a residency here in downtown Austin for like 6 months at Lucky Lounge, right after Matt sold it, and I found I was doing more cover work than I was discovering who I was.
Right.
And so when I kind of journeyed off into that process, I removed myself from live performances and like trying to play places because I wanted to like get in, you know, in a comfortable space like this around instruments and tech and just like a heartwarming space and be like, okay, I can be drunk tonight and learn something about myself. And then maybe that's a song, or like, I'm a terrible songwriter. Maybe I should get better. Like those kinds of things. Like push those buttons. Sorry. I can get closer too.
I just realized if it's pointing at you, it's a lot better.
There you go.
I just discovered that. So So you played this party. You did crowd work. You got the people into it.
We danced a little bit.
You danced a little bit. What other? I know that you're singing the national anthem at the UT Longhorns basketball game on January 3rd.
Mm-hmm. It's Oklahoma. That's who we'll be playing. So I think of all the sports, I know very little about sports. Actually, we went to a game while we were out there. The Jaguars was playing the Houston Texans.
Oh, you went to the game.
We were just slaughtered. It was kind of hard to watch. And I actually understood enough of what was going on that it was a little hard to watch. But I like basketball. I grew up around that. My sister played that and actually got a scholarship for it at one point.
You seem like a guy that could have played basketball just like physically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, tall.
Or a swimmer.
Yeah,
I would swimmer physique.
I would love to do that, but I can't breathe.
What do you mean? Like you can't?
Like it's so much. I don't know. My doctor one time was like, they gave me like a Trumpisms. Was how they were explaining my health because I started biking a lot last year in December of 2016. And then April or May of last year, I went in and I had them like look at my heart and like check things out, like, you know, just like listening to it. And they put it on and they listened for like 5 seconds and they pulled back and they go, your heart is just super irregularly strong. It's incredibly strong.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I was like, I was glad to hear that. But it was like, but are you like doctoring me right now? Or are you just like, it sounded like the affidavit from Trump's doctor. Like, he's in good health and he's just super
the best heart
man.
We've ever seen. Yeah. We've never seen a heart this amazing ever.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, if I have a Trump heart, then I must be doing something right. Right? So anyway, I had a strong heart, but it's like it pumps really fast. I don't know. I think we have a history of heart complications. I have to be
in your family.
Yeah,
not you and I.
I don't know. We could go at it for a while.
We have a history of heart complications.
Every time we get together, man,
it's just a sad festival. You said you're going on vacation with your family. What do you do for Christmas for a year?
Well, this is the first year we're actually not going to be... We went through a shift this year, just of life changes.
Okay.
And we kind of voted not to be in our hometown. We didn't want to be around the energy and the history.
What is the hometown?
Iola, Kansas.
Okay. Right, right, right.
Yeah, southeast.
Right.
Bumfuck. Yeah. So we're leaving to go to Colorado.
Nice.
So yeah, I just got in town today from that show, and then I'm going up to Dallas either tonight or tomorrow morning, and then I'm gonna stay there a day because that's my brother-in-law is up there, and then we're gonna drive up to Kansas. I'm gonna see my mom, and then we're gonna come down and see everybody else and aunts and uncles that are all coming in because they live in different cities, and then on Christmas morning we're just gonna get the hell out and drive to Colorado. It'll be fun. It's going to be a whole gang of us. It's like, how many adults do we have? It's like 10. And then we have a couple kids with us, too. So it'll be fun. We're all going to be packed into this little house.
Cool.
So
where in Colorado?
I think we're going to Breckenridge.
Oh, nice.
So Breckenridge or Vail. Yeah. But they're all, like, really close to each other. I think we're just somewhere in the middle, and then we'll decide when we get there.
Yeah.
So have you been skiing?
Yeah. Okay.
You like it?
Yeah.
Do you do that or snowboard?
Ski. I'm old. I'm like, okay. I learned on skis, and like snowboarding was like something like, what are they, skateboarding? What's going on here? I don't know. Yeah. Like, so well, I'm like a two ski guy.
I want to learn how to do it, guy. But I feel like there's a learning curve for it. Like learning the guitar now is a little bit harder for me than I would like to imagine it being.
Right. Right.
And so snowboarding is like, I would rather go. And if I only have one day to be up on the slopes, I would want to enjoy it and like ski.
Yeah.
Like versus spending a whole day learning and falling on my face. And I feel like snowboarding takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, the other thing, you got poles. You can do things.
Yeah, but
with your
what
feet
cool snowboarder takes poles with them?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't. That's what I'm saying is like I look like someone's grandma when I'm skiing. And I will. I'll go so far as to say a couple years ago in do you know about this thing that they have in Steamboat Springs in January?
Uh-uh.
They have this big music festival. A lot of it is Texas people.
No, what is it?
And it's like an Americana kind of thing, but they got my band Skyrocket to play like the happy hour party.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thanks. So we played like 3 days every day from like, it was super easy. It was like 5 to 7 at the bottom of where everyone comes in from skiing.
Nice.
Starts having their drinks before they go out for the night and see all the big concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And tons of my friends were there, you know, playing in other bands and stuff. But I didn't ski because I was like, well, what if I break my fucking, I mean, I'm, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got a gig. Like, I can't be in them.
It's reality. That's why I don't want to do the jumping jacks isn't that dangerous. But like, it's funny because I'm into say gymnastics, but jumping jacks is the first variation I could think of.
Awesome. You know, I don't really think I should be doing jumping jacks. I think they're very dangerous.
Jump rope is dangerous. You could,
in my apartment, I bet you'd hit your hands jumping jack.
I might. I would. I could touch it. I think just standing up. I'm a giant. I'm weird. I'm like large.
Are you? Einar was telling me you're why didn't he just be your manager?
Einar?
You know he wants to be. Seriously? I'm not saying he said it. I'm just saying like just the way he's.
Oh, I'm down for that.
See if he would.
Okay.
I'm not saying he never said it. The way that I said that sounds. You know he wants to be. No, like we.
As in he has an interest.
He should. I don't know. I think he'd be good at it.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I. One of the things I really appreciate about him is that. You run into him like I have at an Austin Music Foundation event, and he's playing up there. And then he's in there consulting, like he's playing in so many different bands. And mm-hmm. then he'll travel. And what was the group?
The Fray. He's playing with the Fray.
Yeah, that's right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he was also talking about there was a group that opened for Selena, and I can never remember their name. Balando. It's wrong. I'm just gonna stop trying.
You're just saying words.
But it's a girl group, and okay. He was talking about the process of working with them and how exciting it was, and
I know exactly who you're talking about. They're young.
Mm-hmm. Balari.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With one L.
Yeah.
Balari, and just like just a wide diverse array of talents and skills. So it's really cool. Like you can run into him doing anything. So you're just kind of like, oh, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun. I'll say something to him. I was going to try and meet up with him today while I was in town, but I hadn't heard back from him. I just texted him yesterday.
Yeah. I hit him up. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he wants to be a manager. I know I'm too into myself to be a manager. You know what I mean? Like I can only give so much.
Yeah.
I could, if someone called me at 3 a.m. with a problem, I would be like, are you kidding me? Like, fuck you.
Well, it just depends on what you would want out of your manager too.
Right. Exactly.
And I haven't even thought about it so much. Like I've spent this last year like honing in my songwriting, but I spent the time before that really trying to figure out what my songwriting was. And then this last year it was very much, okay, what else do I need to learn about the business? Like, how do I, like, what kind of events do I want to go to? Like, what kind of organizations do I want to work with? Like, how do I do the licensing? Like, how do I approach a company about writing a song for them? How do I find more producers to work with? Like, how do I market myself better? How do I do branding in real life? Like, I was starting to nitpick and figure out the things that I could learn quickly or effectively and then try and take a lot of those on myself. Do you need to take it?
No.
Take a lot of it on myself. And that way... Because I've had a manager in the past, and he was a great guy. He was very smart about these things, but he was ahead of me. Like he would say, "Oh, that song's great," but I knew the songs that I had then weren't where I wanted to go. So that's all right. I could ever think about. You know, now that I'm comfortable with the music, I'm like, okay, now I'd be comfortable to be with somebody who's managing me because right. I like to be really hands-on. But I'm not doing anything crazy right now that I'm making a lot of money. Like
right.
Like this weekend, like it was an experience. But it's not like I'm walking away with, you know, cash burning a hole in my pocket. You know, it's like doing things and getting the experience out of it and having fun and being able to figure out my brand and my sound and what I enjoy most along the way.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think, are you still working with that guy in Guadalajara?
Yeah.
Last time you were here, you were doing some tunes with him, right? He's in Guadalajara,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. His name is Ofo. And he has gone by a couple of different names. Outdream, Tough Kids, with an exclamation point at the end and without the I. And then now we're in our own little group now, too, called Borders.
Oh, really?
Bordrs, period. The period is in there.
Well, I guess you got to do stuff because you get copyright infringement. Like Borders Bookstore would come after you or something.
Mm.
Is that still a thing?
That and there's another band called Borders.
Oh, there is.
I don't think Borders is around though. Barnes and Noble is. Just the other day.
I read a thing online last week that they were like, because there wasn't a new Harry Potter book this year, like their shit is down like so much. Like literally that. Harry Potter has kept that place open for the last like 10 years.
I could see that. So did they have like an exclusive deal where they could only buy the book there or something too?
I think that that's a special enough book that people would want to buy it. Mm-hmm. And then they would, we have book people. Here in Austin, we're lucky, but
you don't find that a lot of places.
Where's the bookstore in Dallas?
Well, they don't have competition with Borders anymore, so you know that they're going to get it.
So you have this band Borders with him, and what's that like? Is there anything out there now?
There's one track. It's called Slow-Mo, SLO-MO. Everything is lowercase, and everything is usually has a punctuation of some sort in it. Excuse me, I'm dying. Slow-mo. Yeah, so we made that track. I'm actually singing on it too. And then there was like the ACL Fest of Europe. Like they've won multiple number one like music festival awards. I can't say who they are because A, I don't want to jinx it, and B, we haven't like been confirmed on doing a gig. But they heard our track this past year, like a month before they had the whole big music festival, and they said, we would love to have you out here, but it's way too soon. Like, we can't just throw you on there. Like, we want you to have your name on the billing and stuff. Like, wow. If we're gonna do it, let's do it right. And I was like, okay. Like, and then said, well, you have time. Why don't you put together something more, like an album, and we can listen to it. And if it's good and we like it, we'll come out here. So that was, we're like, okay. So my lease is up in Austin, and I'm like, let's go someplace that's cheap and I can spend some time. Like, 1 month's rent here got me through 2 months in Mexico. And that's why I went down to Guadalajara, where my buddy lives. Yeah. And it was good. I needed that mental break because I was kind of tired of Austin. You know?
It's a lot, man.
Well, and just being, not even just Austin, just being in any city. I had been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
But I also felt like I was kind of in a rut.
Yeah.
So, you ever feel like that here in Austin?
Yeah.
What do? Like, you get to travel with your band.
But I get to travel with my band. I just look for new stuff to get into, to start doing. Okay. You know, that'll take me out of being here.
Do you ever get the chance to just leave?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where do you go?
Let's see. This year, I've gone to... Oh, this year I've only gone to L.A.
Okay. Where in
L.A.? Oh, and to the beach. I went to Galveston.
Okay. Do you like Galveston?
I mean, I like Galveston because I grew up going there, so I love it. I can't take someone that doesn't have the same spiritual connection to that shithole that I do and expect them to love it the way that I do. I've noticed that with my last few girlfriends where they're like, this is not great. You said this is great. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, it smells bad, and the water is totally brown, like brown.
Right.
Like, I know, it's so great.
I had a friend that showed me from Corpus Christi. We went to there in Galveston.
I went to Cabo.
Okay.
I mean, I spent a couple of days there too while I was there.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you do while you were in L.A.?
I went out there to hang out with Jane and Anar.
Okay.
Jane Ellen Bryant and Anar and Frenchie, and my friend Amanda who lives there.
I met Frenchie with Einar.
Right?
A couple months ago. He speaks like in, what is it? Is idioms the right word?
Yeah, he's a unique speaker.
Yes, he is. But the entire time, like, I'm just like mouth agape, like, okay, thank you for
this. Have you ever heard it on this show?
I haven't.
That's fucking awesome. It's just me just laughing and just saying stuff. It's unbelievable. It's great.
I can imagine.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I met him with Einar. At the bubble, and that was a really cool experience.
Did you go out there and record it all?
We didn't record, but I don't know if I can say this, but I heard a track that they did with Jane, and it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pivotal track.
We can't talk about exactly, but I've had to talk about it without saying what I want to say about it.
Yeah.
You know what I do? Okay, so she's cool enough, we're bros.
Okay.
So she's...
I don't think I've met her yet.
She slid me the track.
She what?
And she gave me the track. So now, like, when I'm leaving my gig, I put that track in. And I'm driving, like back to the hotel, like, yeah,
motherfucker! Yeah. It's great when you have a track that comes out of an artist here in Austin that you can really, like, do that test.
Here go. It, yeah.
Like, because some of the, like, super producers is, like, pop
music that I follow, they go, that's their ultimate test, is that they can drive down Hollywood Boulevard with the music turned way up and the windows down and like singing their own song. Like they feel like it's ready for other people to consume.
Yeah.
Like, if you can do that here in Austin, like with somebody from Austin too, and you're just like fucking jamming with that. Like that's
what's funny, because a lot of people in Austin don't make that kind of music. They don't make the kind of music that you make.
Yeah, it's true.
Or like that Katie and Ben make. You're friends with them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or what Jane's doing now. You know what I mean? There's a lot of...
It's a hard market to break into. And you know, one of the things that I really respect about Katie and Ben is that she's doing shows. You know, she's out there doing a lot. I don't think she's doing, as much as anybody who's picking up a guitar and can do like a 3-hour set of songs like that. But that's just not what she does. That's not what I do. You know, it's a different, it's
but
a different
where
vibe.
Is that venue for you? Like, not that I think that you should be playing here, but I think at some point Austin as a music community needs to acknowledge that you guys make a kind of music that everybody in the world listens to. Not just like the people in Austin. There's like this, like,
there's a niche.
Yeah.
It's a large niche.
Nobody your age is listening to some blues guy. I mean, very few people your age in like Minnesota are listening to a blues guy.
Yeah.
They're listening to music like you make and like Katie makes.
Yeah. I 100% agree. It just doesn't sell as easily it doesn't get people in the door.
Isn't that weird though? Like the stuff you do here that's successful here, when you go out of here, no one wants it. But when you do the stuff that's successful everywhere else, like nobody rap and stuff like that, just doesn't explode here. Like,
Well, there are some exceptions. Not that I know all of them, because I'm still familiarizing myself.
Right.
But Shaky Graves,
amazing.
I finally met him backstage
at that thing.
All ETX benefit, and he was so cool. And I was like, I know your mom, and he was like, oh hey. And
that's what I said to him.
Did you really? No.
No.
But I know your mom.
Yeah, I know his mom.
Yeah, I'm Pato Garcia Crow.
Yeah, how do you know her?
Through a friend of mine, Erilyn Hughes, who Ampy directed her documentary that she was a feature of.
Okay.
But then I am also working, I'm going to be in her upcoming musical.
You are?
Uh-huh, that's called Strip the Musical. And they've put so much work into it.
I kind of feel like doing a show with both of them together. Wouldn't that be cool?
With Shaky
and his mom, Ampy? That'd just be badass.
I think it would be really cool. I would love to see that. Who knows? It might be coming around the corner. Something like that. Kind of collaboration.
Like that, we could do it.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy, man.
He is.
He's so good.
Yes. So talented. That's
so funny. So that day,
he met you. And it's just him and the guitar. And he could be there for hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got some stuff that he does.
Yeah. I mean, the kick drum.
So that day, he was backstage trying to do this show where he had to go up in front of all these people by himself, this thing sandwiched between all this, and there's just dudes coming at him backstage like, hey man, I'm friends with your mom, man, how you doing? So both of us did that. I wonder who else did that.
Oh my god, I didn't
what
see
what did you think of that whole thing? That's what we're talking about, and you can be honest.
Like, wait, about know, the whole
ATX show? All ATX show.
Is it Bob Schneider that was performing?
I don't think he was playing.
Who was the big guy before the headliner that came out?
Bob Livingston?
Rob Schneider.
No.
Is there a Rob Schneider?
I don't remember seeing Bob there.
I sound like a horrible Austin citizen right now.
Listen, dude, I'm not going to lie. Once again, Jane was like, come down. I got a pass for you. Free booze backstage.
Badass.
I was sold at free booze backstage. And I really took advantage of that. So really towards the end, I remember... Yeah, I remember going like, I gotta leave. There was a weird lady that's like a Skyrocket fan that was getting a little handsy.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that... Rob, there's a famous musician here.
Bob Schneider.
Bob Schneider.
That's a guy.
Is that him?
I don't remember him playing.
We're
friends.
Somebody told me that was him, and he walked off the stage and put his hand on my shoulder, patted me like twice, and like looked at me in the eyes and was like,
Yeah, that was a Bob.
Okay. Well, it was some real famous performer from here locally, maybe from the Armadillo World Headquarters.
That's what I'm saying, Bob Livingston.
Okay.
Was he old?
I mean,
like
older.
60?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Bob's like 50. I mean, there's a difference. Like, I'm 50, but
I think 60.
60, like, you can just kind of tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that was at Bob
Lee. It was dark, and he walked by, and the light was coming from the back. But I just remember him looking at me and smiling and humming, like, in approval. And I'm like, he has no idea who I am. I was like, I would never expect this person to know, but I liked it.
Do you know about that whole thing?
No.
I mean, just about
that. Oh, the Armadillo World Headquarters? Like, why they were
celebrating that thing?
Kind of, it was a collaboration between rock and hipsters, hippies. Country. Thank you.
Country and hippies.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was more than that. It's kind of like, you know how we have the Awesome Music Foundation, how we're backstage at those things and everyone's bros and you know,
yeah.
It's almost like a family thing. That whole community thing started. I just read that 500-page book and did an interview with the authors of it. And it was when I was reading it.
Oh, that's right. That was like on the episode just right before this week.
Yeah. And when I was reading it, I was like, I mean, there were people that I'm like, oh, that's where that guy comes from. Because he's always at these things playing like that Bob Livingston guy. I didn't realize really how he fit into everything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, then I realized like, oh, this whole community, this music community started at this place. And that's why it keeps getting, because, you know, sometimes you're like, why do they keep on like talking about this place? Like it fucking was open for 10 years. It was closed. It's been closed like 5 times longer than it was even open.
But it was a crossroads.
It was a crossroads.
Yeah.
And it brought together, it just created, it birthed that scene where there's artists and poster artists and writers and Richards and, you know.
And I think it's cool that there was a place for different, because it was explained to me that those communities never crossed.
Right.
And that's why it was so important. Yeah. And so then they also, what kind of meshed their music a little bit too, and that's some of the artists that were there.
Yeah.
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 So it was a whole birther movement.
It was a whole birther movement. Well, a lot of people that came out of kind of that scene have gone on to really, you know, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings.
Oh, Willie Nelson came out of that?
Yeah.
Really?
That was kind of that's.
Wow.
And that's like where Willie Nelson met Leon Russell and they forged a friendship and a creative partnership that went on until Leon died. And
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's all.
It kind of makes sense.
It does, but it really takes kind of like digging into this where you're like, oh,
that's what that is.
That's why everyone's always like, man, that place. Because I even went there.
When
I was a little kid, like you could take your kids, and there were all these kids that I play music with now that our parents were these hippies that went to that place, and you know you're over in the corner playing with a little kid, you know.
Gonna grow it was up like and be a family environment.
Yeah.
It was a cool place. It was chill.
Yeah.
It was like
little church. Kids at bars.
But with alcohol.
It was cool.
I want to go back, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go back.
To the whole venue in Austin for Pop. Because you were like, well, what would be a place for that?
Where is that place? And what is... There's not like the broken spoke of Pop here.
No.
I mean, there are places that have Pop shows. Empire. Mohawk.
I don't frequent there enough to have an honest, an accurate opinion about it. It seems to me that it's more like EDM focused pop than it would be like pop music. Like, I don't think Katy Perry would come through there.
Right.
You know,
is that where do you align yourself?
You know, I've just so far removed myself from the expectation of ever really playing anywhere that I...
No. I mean, where do you see yourself genre-wise?
Like, oh!
I consider you a pop artist in the way of like a Katy Perry or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely see pop. And you know what's really cool? There was, after a recent gig, somebody came up to me and they were like... And this is where I feel like... Because it's hard to see your image or the way that people see you. When you're like, because you're yourself, like you can't see you. Like I always
have an idea of
what I'm putting out,
projecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's always good to know that what I want to do ultimately with my music is put out good positivity, and I want somebody to walk away from a show being like, I'm happier, like I'm smiling more, and I want to share that smile with the world. Like that's what I want people to do. And so when somebody comes up to me afterward and is filled with a lot of joy, I'm like, that's what I want, you know. And then when they're like, and you don't sound like anybody else, I'm like, yay! Okay, yeah. So I'm doing something right. Because I always just sit back and I'm like, my songs are going to sound too much like somebody else. Because it's pop, you know? Like, you don't want to sound just like Katy Perry. Yeah, and I'm not trying to even sound like her stuff. But like, pop can just sound so generic to a lot of people. And a lot of people hate it because it sounds generic in a way.
But it's so weird to say a lot of people hate it. Most everyone loves it. That's why it's pop.
Yes. Or they just hate the word pop. They don't. Right, it's like right. They want a drink, but they're not going to be talking about, oh, I'm not an alcoholic, but I'll have 10 drinks in a night.
Yeah.
Well, if it's on the radio all the time when I'm in my car driving 4 hours a day, I guess I'll listen to pop.
Yeah. I like people that say, no, I don't smoke, only when I drink. Can I have another cigarette? And you're just like, you said you don't smoke, so don't smoke.
Yeah, but there's no broken spoke for that. I would love to do Empire. You know, and never mind.
I mean, it seems like almost you guys should band together and do like a show or even like, you know, a longer show with like a focus where you could do something like get a place like fucking 310. That's just badass. Because that's the other thing is like, I did see one time that Katie was playing at like Stay Gold, and nothing against Stay Gold. That's a great place. But if I go see a pop act, I need a badass sound system. I don't need two JBLs on fucking stands.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I need to hear it like it's meant to be heard.
Absolutely.
Not like a punk rock band.
So my curiosity, well, not my curiosity, but my problem is getting to a stage, because I don't do the live shows, having enough of an audience that I would even be allowed to be up on that stage. Like, it's one thing if I'm working with an organization getting up
there.
That's
what I'm saying, if you guys all pull together and put together like some kind of show and made it like an event.
Like a pop event.
See, this is the thing that I've been talking to Frenchie about, because Frenchie puts on shows a few times a year. And I was like, hey, you know what? I need to get together with you because I feel like there's people like you and like Katie that I would love to see all the time, but I feel like aren't getting a fair shake. You know what I mean? Like, I wanna use How Did I Get Here to have a showcase that introduces people to like music they are not hearing.
That would be amazing.
You know,
I think that'd be so easy for you to do too. Like, there'd be a lot of, you know, organization and stuff. But like you
just
have
organize and promote an event as opposed to just be a guy that shows up and plays like four songs. Like, that's the thing, is I'm so used to being the guy that just like the whole idea.
I'll help
like,
you.
I've got to go to 310. I've got to talk to these people and explain to them why it's a viable thing. I got to put together a bill. Mm-hmm. I got to find a poster artist.
I'll help you. That sounds like fun for me.
See, like, I think I could do it with a good person.
Yeah.
But you're a person I would want to have on there. I feel like if I was going to have any kind of showcase, I would make it a pop showcase, because I feel like that's the only thing that's not being showcased.
Well, then who better to help you organize it than somebody who's doing pop?
That's true.
Okay, everybody's listening. This is He just committed.
Gonna do it.
He was dripping blood on a piece of paper.
We need to do it in a nice place. Let's do that in 2018.
I
wonder. No, I'm not.
I bet we could get a lot of people behind it.
I bet we could.
I know that
you've got 800 sponsors on your website. Do they give you money, or do they just support you?
No, well, not. I've actually sponsored some of their events.
Okay.
With different organizations, and some of them have sponsored me.
You should put my logo on there, because I mean, I support you.
Hey, can I get a PNG?
What's a PNG?
Like your logo, not as a JPEG, so it can float and I can put stuff around it. Okay. Totally. Yes, please. How do you like the X? Do you have an X? Is that not an X?
No, it's a Galaxy S8 Active.
Wow.
So I don't need a case.
It looks like an X from over here, the way that the screen was moving.
I know. Well, that's why they sued them, right?
Is that what's happening?
That was their problem back in the thing.
Oh, that was like years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they delivered their payment in, what, pennies or something?
Something like that. Something crazy. Okay, so we're gonna figure out this.
The pop showcase.
This pop showcase.
Or just a showcase in general, and we can have a pop feature in it. Whatever.
It should be a pop showcase. It should be like, hey, these are bands you guys should be hearing.
Okay. I'm down.
I'm down too.
Okay, I can help with the graphics and stuff. And yeah, we could pull together and bring some people.
I bet Jane would do it if we asked her.
Okay,
if she could debut new music.
Mm-hmm. That would be an event, and I know that she's got a lot of people that would love to hear that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What are you working on now musically? What's going on?
So this album for the festival, and then I found another producer I'm really enjoying working with. I have so many stories I want to tell you.
Tell me.
But this producer in Hungary, I found, he had posted on this website, Splice. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's where you put open like projects that you haven't finished, or like you're doing a remix or something like that. And, I said, oh, I like the remix that you're doing, but I want that synth line. And he came back immediately and was like, here are the stems. What do you want to do? And I was like, wow, there are so many people
that I've tried to work with. I even had like a top 10 artist whose manager got back to me and said, "We love all your shit. What are you going to write with our stuff? Here's some tracks." Like I've had, it's always a good feeling. It warms up your heart when, like, cause I spent so much time saying, okay, I'm going to send the track and people will come back and say, okay, well, it needs a little bit of a better hook. It needs better this, better that. Let me know when it gets better. Now to be able to send something off and people say, when can I record it? Like, let's do it. Like, it's cool. Like, it's those little moments that allow you to say, okay, I'm doing something better. Like, I'm doing something that other people care about now. Not like, okay, why don't you go in a corner and work, you know?
Right.
Be good for once. So I found this guy. He was really cool to work with, easy to work with, super talented and fresh. And I said, hey, let's write some stuff. I ended up getting a licensing opportunity with an insurance company recently that came out and interviewed me from Israel. And not me, not just me, but like a whole bunch of other clients. But I had said something to them. I'm like, hey, what if we made a track for you? Because I love the name of your company. I love what you're doing. And we both have a lot of things in common, sharing positivity and trying to do good things for good people. Or those in need, like just spreading that love. And they said, totally down. And I worked with this new guy on a beat and we loved it and felt like it was good vibes. Send it to them and like, cool. So now they're going to turn around to their CEO and be like, okay, cool. If you like this, then we'll make a track just for you. And it's fun. It's cool to be able to work with different people doing different kinds of projects. And yeah. I always keep myself busy in some capacity like that.
I love that about you. Einar and I have had that talk that you don't like, you're not like, oh, hey, let me see if this guy over here, like on East Austin can help me do. Like, you're like, fuck it. I'm going to Guadalajara. I'm going to Hungary, whatever. Let's do a thing.
If I could find people doing more of the pop stuff or like the production stuff in Austin, like I would totally love to not have to go everywhere. But, and it was an opportunity I have to leave Austin.
Yeah. I think it's great that you're doing that. And I think that it informs your music in a much broader way.
Yeah.
And it makes somebody like, I mean, really like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be a huge artist. Like you have all the stuff is there.
Thank you.
You know? And the fact that you're talented enough to write and work behind the scenes, but also you have a look that can be in the front of the scene. You know what I mean? You can be in front of the camera without a hassle.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you.
Yeah, it means a whole lot.
No, no, it does. I don't know what to say now. I'm like, okay, how do I?
No, I mean, I just, you know, that's the thing. Like from the time I first heard your music and we ever first talked, I was just always like, oh, this guy, you know, I mean, it's just a matter of time before.
Thank you.
You know, you're watching the Grammys and Sky comes out there with somebody either playing like a guitar or something with Bruno Mars or, you know, Bruno Mars playing guitar with you. You know, you don't know.
So this is my question for you. Because you were talking like people might not have as much of an appreciation for pop here in Austin.
Well, I mean, because they're my age. That's who runs the stuff, Alex. I mean, we're all like 49-year-old dudes that came from rock and roll. We want to hear some pop, like computer song? No. And right. I don't mean that in a bad way. I personally love pop music and have the whole time. So I'm not, but generally that's why it's...
So let's say that there was an audience for it here in Austin.
Yeah.
But there is an expectation that when you go to a show or go to a bar, like you have a full band and everything's being recreated there. When I did the taping with Austin 360, most of that was on the track. You know, if I had a bass player there and I did have a drummer there, between that and me playing keys and singing, like that would have been 70% of the sounds in the entire thing, if not more. But it's that 30% that really carves out the sound. Or, you know, the real distinct imagery of each song, if you will. That's so important. You know, Mike Krieger is his name, the name of the drummer that did the show with me. He brought an electronic kit so that we could change out the sounds on each one.
Yeah.
You know, and I love working with people who like get that. Like, okay, well, each song has to be, you know, something different and unique. And we have to make sure that we can accurately represent that. But if you were going to go to a pop show, and knowing that there's kind of an expectation of what you're going to see at a live show already in Austin, do you want a full band there, or do you want whatever's going to sound true?
I want whatever. I don't want somebody to come out and do a 3-piece version of a pop produced song I just heard. I would want to hear the bells and whistles, and if it was, you know, Katie up there with weird dancers with wigs, or, you know, people actually playing. As long as it came across like it didn't compromise what it was.
It's authentically them.
Right.
Yeah.
See, the thing is there's this weird chasm between the people that go to the places that the music's being played at our level are going to see rock and roll bands, and they're, I mean, that's generally who is doing it, or like indie or whatever, Americana, adult alternative shit that's happening. But the people that go to see the Katy Perry shows don't—they're
not there for the instrumentation.
They don't know where 310 even is, or you know what I mean?
That's true. It's true.
I mean, I would think we would have to make it all ages and just basically try and like really market to everyone, not just the people that are.
I think people who might not typically be interested in pop would be interested in that too, because they're like, oh, well, that's not been done in Austin.
Yeah.
And like to know that there's, you know, a bill or there's an expectation behind it. They're like, oh, cool. Well, then I can expect something good. Like, they're going to approach it with a fresh perspective.
Do you know who William Harry Scram is? He's not a pop artist by any means. Okay. But he did this thing where when he was like 14 and 15, he had a band. His best friend had another band.
Okay.
And then they had other friends that had bands, but there were all these kids that were under 18, couldn't play anywhere. So he started having these, just putting together these shows. And it's almost like that's what we have to do, is kind of like put together this thing where like, hey, you guys, normally you can't do this, but you can do this tonight. Right. You know what I mean? You can go see five pop bands at 310, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we're going to make it a thing. And it's going to be a fun, it's going to be an extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
And you know what? I think I say that just because pop just kind of brings that flair with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of music has flair, because one of the things I really appreciate about you and about Einar and Vallejo, like when they perform, like you guys are amazing instrumentalists as well. Like I can't get up there and do a crazy jazz solo in the middle of my swing pop dance song. Like if somebody is like, hey, play that song, it's like half the time I don't even know the song.
Right.
Or I can't play it. Like, I can put together four chords and do something, but I'm not going to be able to do it in the original style or know the key off the top of my head or be able to do some kind of, like, Prince solo on the guitar. You know, I can't even play the guitar.
There's not much of that. Yeah.
So it's... I don't remember where exactly I was trying to go with that, but it's inspiring to see you guys like be really good at that, and that's its own flair. That's what I love about going to live shows, like at the ATX Benefit show.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the headliner guy? I don't remember.
John Fogerty.
Yes, like he was telling a great story about Woodstock and how everybody was sleeping and he got up and they were naked or something. I recorded it, but obviously don't remember it. But he, you know, could play the instrument up there too, and like be awesome. And there were other instrumentalists throughout the night. Shaky can do a kick-ass solo. Like
yeah.
People can like play an instrument, and that's its own flair.
That guy.
But I'm not doing that. Like I have to have a different kind of flair. And pop, I think, brings that pizzazz. Katie has that sparkle and that glitter,
totally,
in her hair and on her face and in her music. You know. So we got to find the extravaganza.
We're gonna do this. 2018 is our year.
Okay, I'm excited about it.
South by Southwest might be too soon to try and do it.
I think cutoff line. Oh, you mean to do it around then?
Yeah, you know, someone will let us have a party at their place. But it does have to be a good... It can't be at like a... We can't do it in the front room at the Hole in the Wall. We can't do it at Seaboys. We got to do it where the presentation equals the... what we're trying to do. And 310 really is that place, because it has all of you guys have great video content.
I was going to say, we can put
photos,
the video on in the back. And we can really work closely with anybody, the artists that don't have a lot of that content together. Not only will it be a fun learning process for us or for me, but then to also make sure that we're all at that same level together in one night, that we all have like that video.
Anyone listening to this is excited as we are right now.
I am. I think it'd be really cool. It'll give me a chance to really stretch my legs on some of the different stuff that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've always approached my music as a resume. My first album was a resume builder. You know, any gig I'm doing is a resume builder. Do I have an actual resume? No. I mean, I guess you could say my website is, but it's like, I do a private gig, and then I learned how to move around more comfortably, or how not to do that thing that I did that one time, you know?
Yeah.
And everything is adding to that experience, and this would be something that a lot of those things that I used myself as
like a testing ground would be fun to apply with other people.
Yeah.
I am really excited about this.
Me too. Let's do this, 2018.
Okay. 2018 is our year.
All right. We know two of the artists. It's going to be a big show. You guys come out to the extravaganza. Johnny and Sky's incredible extravaganza. What all do you have coming up? You're doing the national anthem.
Do the national anthem, and then hopefully I'll be able
Aren't you scared to sing that in front of that many people?
Don't say that.
With no music accompaniment?
No, because that's how I did it. When I just recorded it in my, so that they could hear a sample of me singing the song. I recorded it in my garage on a microphone, and then I just literally uploaded it with a little bit of compression so that you can actually hear all the notes. Sure. And then sent it to them. Like, I told them, I was like, look, I don't have a thing in my ear. It's fun. I love singing a cappella. I like to harmonize with myself. I think the challenge, I'm gonna say this, because if you say it, it makes it true in the mm-hmm. world.
That's
it,
why we said that, yeah.
My challenge is not to know the lyrics, because I know the lyrics and I will not fuck up the lyrics.
Right.
It's to not harmonize too much, because it's such... People are like, it's a difficult song. I'm like, that's not the problem for me. It's that I'm going to make it too complicated, and people are going to be like, ew, who is that? You know, versus just singing it and opening up your throat and holding out a note. Because I want to do runs all over the place all the time.
Trish, the girl that sings in Skyrocket mm-hmm. with us, she, we didn't do it this year, but a couple of shows a year we play outside of the Spurs games, uh-huh. like in conjunction with the game. Uh-huh. And we play the intro, then we play at halftime, then we do a set at the end.
Okay.
After the game. And then usually when we do that, they ask her to sing the national anthem. And hers is great, straight up. It's the character of her voice that's coming through. She's not doing anything except singing the melody as herself. No Christina Aguilera mm-hmm. kookiness or...
Yeah, Lady Gaga. What do you think, Do you think Lady Gaga's was kooky? I think it was different for her career at that time.
All I can think is Lady Gaga coming up. Did you watch
the red glitter eyes?
Did you like that?
Did I like what?
Did you like that documentary? 13? Did you watch it on Netflix about Lady Gaga? 5'2"?
Oh, I started it and I just couldn't. I couldn't get all the way through it.
Why? She bothered you?
No, I greatly respect her and admire her. I would love the opportunity to meet her, work with her, all of those things. But there was just something about the. I'm curious who's this. Primary idea was for the documentary, because I was completely lost until about 3/4 of the way that it was supposed to be a pre-Super Bowl thing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a Lady Gaga documentary, and here she is opening it up in her mansion, getting a massage and talking about her hard work.
Right.
And I remember somebody was like, she's not, I don't want to watch that. Like, she's so self-involved. And it's like, well, do you realize how much work she's actually doing? Like, yeah. I would be getting massages in my mansion too. Yeah. Yeah. While also preparing for the Super Bowl. Like, I don't put that against her. It was just that I was really misdirected for me.
You tell someone.
Misguided.
You tell that person to get on the fucking roof of NRG Stadium in Houston and perform for literally over a billion people.
I just can't, I don't know how she
You'd have to get fall. Massages the whole time.
How she didn't fall on her heels. How Beyonce didn't fall on her heels. Like, I would just be freaking out. I think the documentary was great. I just was so misguided because I didn't know what the primary purpose of it was beforehand.
Right.
That I was a little kind of fed up to when I stopped.
Did you get to the part where she's having the meeting with her people and she's just sitting outside, they're all just talking, and then she sits up and you realize she's like having this meeting topless?
Oh, at the pool.
At the pool.
Yeah.
I was just like, I was like, that is
she's
so
real.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and I sit back sometimes and I'm like, okay. So on a lot of my pictures, I have very much like a suit and jacket, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm like that professional businessman, I guess, with my music. And Dance the Night Away kind of resonates with that. And I'm like, what if I just was doing naked. Shirtless stuff? Because that's the way I live my life, is I'm just very carefree. Yeah. I walk around the house naked.
Very little clothing.
Right. And that's not what you do on a stage.
You would have a huge
stage.
Fan base because you're really good looking. And it would just, it would turn into, you know what happened is you would have to figure out a new trip when you get like 40.
Yeah. But if I'm doing well enough before then, I think I'll have plenty of time to figure it out. I don't know. I think with this new wave of music that I'm getting done and written, and knowing that some of it could be seen somewhere.
Yeah.
I think the persona is going to have to change a little bit because I'm not going to be wearing suits all the time.
No, I understand that. And you know why can't you change your style from record to record and from release to release to sort of like indicate where you are at that time?
It's the validity of looking at yourself as an actual artist versus saying, oh, I'm just trying to be an artist and am I allowed to do that? So when you get in the comfortable zone like Lady Gaga is, where creatively she's just like, well, I think I'm going to go with something like Joanne on this next one. Or Beyonce, when she says, that is the persona. I'm going to take Sasha Fierce out there, and that's who she is. And then she can come back and she can be her own, you know, more secluded self.
Ziggy Stardust.
Yes.
You know, Bowie did that. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that's totally viable as an artist. Getting outside of yourself is like, that's what all those people were doing when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get, they were just so Beyonce that she wanted to do something that she could even put her own head in a different person and not even have to be in Beyonce.
I just love that idea. Yeah. I mean, it's great that she did that, though. She brought out the diva-ness, and now she just is Beyonce. She's not that Sasha Fierce.
No.
At least she doesn't.
No, they meld after a while. They keep, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You keep a little of the stuff from that guy and move on.
Well, and Bruno Mars did that, too. Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Beyonce, all those big greats, Sia, came out with really poppy shit.
Yeah. And I feel like Bruno Mars, like, his latest records make me feel like... Like, he's just writing songs about getting ready to go do something. They're not really the songs about anything anymore. Like, they're all that's about, like, hey, Julio, go get the car. Let's go to a thing. And now we're going to go to this place. Then we're going to go to this other thing. And you're like, hey, but what's happening in your life, Bruno?
And nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I mean, I
like party music as well. But there was a point where he was like, you know, that first record that...
It was pop. Just the like you are. Yeah. It's like sad and like longing and heavy pop anthem melodies. Yeah, and then he kind of branched away from it. But you go through that process not only for the visibility, but then to also dial back and say, okay, well, what worked? You know, that's kind of what the DNA was. I didn't put them all out for any reason other than to challenge myself as a songwriter, to say I can do a dance swing pop anthem. I can do a EDM R&B mix with a rap feature in it. I wanted to challenge myself to make those kinds of things, to say, I want somebody to feel that way with this track, or I want to say something about college, and I want to make it in a way that, like, even if you did go to college, like, you can take yourself nostalgic back to a time that maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
Do people do that? I don't know. But that was my challenge. I wanted each song to do those things. But then you kind of learn, it's like, oh, well, nobody really liked college. So
some people did.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just saying, just a hypothetical. Like, so maybe people liked Ripples a lot more than I anticipated, because I was just like, I got to do a piano and vocal song because that's what I always do in Austin, and I really enjoyed that song. I love that song, but I don't ever play it because it's not what I do anymore.
I think it's cool to have that in your back pocket to go to in the middle of a set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh well, we're gonna slow it down, and now there's not gonna be any kind of thing. It's just gonna be me and this organic instrument, like mm-hmm. expressing this feeling.
Yeah,
you know, I think all of it. I just think you're great.
I think you're great.
Aw,
stop it.
Let's have an extravaganza.
I'm ready for it. Glitter. Will you put glitter in your hair a little bit?
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think we can get Anor to come and put glitter in his hair too?
He has no hair.
Honestly.
We can put it on his head.
That's right.
I've been to strip clubs with Anor. I've seen him with glitter on that bald head.
extravaganza.
I just really wanted to say that, Anor.
We have to call it Extravaganza 18 or something. Austin Extravaganza. AUS.
Pop Extravaganza.
Pop Extravaganza. Ooh. Oh, there's already a thing called Pop Austin. It's a fashion show.
It's an art show.
Yeah.
I've been to it. It's good.
It is. I went last year, not this past year.
Did you go to the one with the lights?
Was that this year?
No. I went to one and it was lights was the focus of the. I think it was 2015.
I only went 2016.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right. Sky, people can find you at skystrickler.com. You're an amazing artist, mm-hmm. a great songwriter.
Thank you.
Go to skystrickler.com. Get involved. Stream the tunes on the Spotify's and the places. What are you about to say?
Follow me on Snapchat.
Oh yeah, I don't have Snapchat.
Why not?
I feel like it makes me feel like I'm a creepy old guy.
No,
I mean
everybody's a creepy somebody.
Really?
On Snapchat, and it's fine. Because people who want to see you kind of be creepy, or they want to be creepy themselves, are going to follow you. You can't just go on and search
Beyonce. No. I mean, I just feel creepy because I'm old, and it seems like a tool of the young.
Have you seen... No. Mm-mm. It's kind of dying down in popularity. I don't know how long it'll be. I think it'll stick around for a while, but have you ever seen that, like, 95-year-old woman on Instagram, albeit... that always wears lots of colors and has a professional photographer following her around. She just, every costume that you see is completely 10 times more than you could imagine color being in one human outfit. And you're just like, oh my God. She just has hundreds of thousands of followers.
Really?
Yeah. It's something absurd.
And it's so funny. Like, we make shit. We're trying to, like, write songs, express us, make the best music we can.
Here's this 95-year-old woman just having fun on the beach in color.
I've got, like, 1,400 followers. But then, like, hey, if I was an old lady dressed in, like, rainbow shit, I would be all over the place.
I wonder how she got started. I wonder if it was, like, what is that? They're like, Grandma, we're going to put you on Instagram. It's like, well, this is my style. I don't need to, nobody else needs to see it. It's like, no, I'll do it. And then she got like 500 likes on her first photo. And she's like, well, let's do it then. Let's travel the world and get photos. Because you can, that's a marketing thing. It's beautiful. Yeah. It is. Follow me on Snapchat.
Okay.
That's the behind the scenes.
That's the behind the scenes. That's where the real deal's going down.
Yeah.
But you're all in the other ones too.
Yeah, Instagram. Everything's really accessible. I take a lot of pride in my
website. Grandmother's Facebook?
My grandma is on Facebook.
Come on, Isti. Here's what's great about my grandma. She's 94, doesn't quite know how to do her stuff, and then she just gets frustrated and starts pushing buttons. So every once in a while, I get a text from my cousin, like, go to the page. And you go to it, it's like a picture of this part of her leg.
That's great. Because then you sit there because you know exactly what happened. You're like,
awesome.
Yes. Oh. And do you like it or do you not want to make...
Dude, I love it. That's what I put me off. There's like, she has 7 grandchildren. Usually there's 7 hearts underneath her in her weird, absurd pictures.
That's awesome. So maybe that could just be her thing. She just starts posting the blur. She has the account with the blurry photos that she didn't mean to take.
I think you have to have something going on a little more, like the rainbow grandma.
No, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, does she do art or something else?
No.
Like, just her blurry leg, but then, like, she can have her signature on it.
I don't know. I'll work it out this weekend. I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll see what we're posting.
See if there's anything unique about her life that you can pull into each frame, or a quote, you put a great caption with it, or like a funny story.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ah, crap, I got up and then I tried to get out of bed and I couldn't find my slipper, and then this, and then you see like her, a little bit of her gown peeking with her leg out, and that's the blurry leg with gown.
Yeah, blurry leg with gown. I hope you have a good Christmas. Everyone go to skystrickler.com and look for our extravaganza, our pop extravaganza 2018, coming in 2018.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, John.
Thank you, buddy. He's chasing you back to the store. Has me dance the night away. Amazing pop artist and fantastic guy. Glad to call him my dear friend, Sky Strickler. What a talent. Pick up his EP, DNA. If you are a pop person, this is the guy for you. Go to skystrickler.com. Or look up DNA on all of your streaming services. He's out there. He's out there. I love talking to Sky. I'm very glad we've become friends. I hope he had a great Christmas. And we need to do that pop extravaganza 2018. That's something that needs to be done pretty soon. So looking forward to that. Stay in touch. Like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And I'll keep you updated on pop extravaganza 2018. And listen, like our Facebook page, while you're out there on the internet looking up skystrickler.com and stuff like that, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on the iPhone Podcast app, Android Podcast app, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, virtually anywhere where you find your podcast, you will find How Did I Get Here, and you will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday of me talking to a musician or someone involved somehow in music and the arts, something of that nature. All right? Well, listen, I hope you guys have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. I'm very excited to start recording my EP on Monday. You'll hear a little bit about it on Tuesday, as I'll probably be pretty excited to talk to you about it. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Let's hear some more music from the amazingly talented Sky Strickler. Go to skystrickler.com for all your Sky Strickler needs. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
Woke up, no snooze alarm. Had my breakfast packed, threw my t-shirt on. Against the grain, I'm starting Monday strong.
outside. I smile back at the debonair curled hair. I'm stuck in paper. I already mowed along. Keep moving on. My belly woolly Oxford's on. Hear me when I'm back. You catch that funky little sway. Chin up, I need a grease. Throw my shoulders back. My knees won't falter either. I ain't out here just for fun. I'm feeling low to college. I pay my bills on time. And now I got that white happy brown sugar crisp. Be heat now on summer days. Need more to pay fun. Look out, we're rolling through. I got me, my sister, my whole crew. But like the sunset creeping through the night, I do my best. Help, what I can see is barely there in front of me. Bobby, take off the glasses I got from that thrift shop down the street. Like sometimes vintage swag or custom cufflinks may be play. Whatever I do, I got my shoe polished to a T. But that's just who I am. Won't let some words make me get my damn an issue. That's fine for me and you. It's obvious we're worth 1,000 scholarships, but we prefer a bigger stage than a colleges. Won a couple semesters, but I wasn't effective. Every morning rolling up for breakfast. High time flew by, got in with a 3.2 and then left there with a 1.5. I was wide-eyed like an owl at night, on the strip hollering at every dime in sight. Or in the dorm room spitting some behind the mic. Yeah, writing the rhyme, lighting the drove. With the top by the dough, trying to hide that smoke. Put the beat on repeat till I find that flow. Now I got it, nothing can stop it. The product, now we poppin', they talking like we should probably book them so we can rock it for the footage. Said we probably wouldn't. Yeah, smile in front of the camera while you check out the footage. Like,
I didn't go to college, I paid my bills on time.